This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. And remember, you can re-listen to this program on the website, and you can read a weekly meditation there. So if you need those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so we can give them to you at the close of the program. Now, last time we spent some time on John chapter 14 because we were thinking about a need for peace and in a very troublesome time and a need for some thanksgiving. And so we looked at that phrase, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." But today we want to go back and continue our journey through Genesis. We've been looking at Joseph in Genesis, and he's an interesting picture because we have no sin charged against Joseph, and we begin to see Joseph as a picture of the Lord Jesus. We see him as a savior who not only saved his own family, but he saved the Egyptians, who were really not his family. In a sense, they were his adopted family because he had come into Egypt as a prisoner, had been sold to Potiphar, had ended up in prison, and ultimately had been elevated to second in command by Pharaoh because of dreams that Pharaoh had had. And now today we're going to be looking at the second journey of Joseph's brothers down into Egypt. They had come once, and when they left, they had to leave their brother Simeon behind. Joseph wanted to make sure they were going to come back, and he particularly wanted to make sure that they were going to bring his full brother Benjamin back with them. And they did not know when they were there the first time that he was Joseph, and they did not know that he understood what they were saying. And last time we noticed that they did confess their sin and indicated that they knew that the reason they were having the trouble they were having with Joseph down in Egypt was because of the way they had treated Joseph, and his blood was being required at their hand. And with confession, there is always blessing. And so while the blessing was not obvious immediately, Joseph heard their confession, and Joseph actually turned away from them and cried because of the situation. The Lord had given Joseph dreams that had been fulfilled or were being fulfilled with those brothers coming down into Egypt. Joseph had dreamed that his mother and his father and his brothers and his sisters would end up one day bowing down before him. Nobody could have believed that would have happened when he had the dreams, and the brothers really resented him for the dreams, but now the dreams are coming to fruition. Now, I don't want to read all of Genesis 43, but I do want to read verses 13 through 18, where Jacob is trying to get his sons to go back down to Egypt and buy grain again, because now that the famine being severe, they have run out of food there in Canaan. So Genesis 43 and verse 13 says, "Take your brother also and arise and go back to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release you, your brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved." Now, he had not allowed Benjamin to make that first trip, but now in order for them to go back and to get Simeon, they have to make this trip with Benjamin, because that's what Joseph had required of them. And so when we look at this, he says, take these men. So the men took that present. Jacob told them to take a present in their hand. He says, "May God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved." So the men took that present, the things that Jacob had asked them to take back to Joseph and Benjamin, and they took double money because, if you remember, their money had been returned to them in their sacks, and arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And, of course, they still don't know that this is Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my home, and slaughter an animal, and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon." Then the men did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. That is, his brothers were afraid of Joseph because they were brought into Joseph's house. And again they said, "It is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us and take us as slaves with our donkeys." Now you can see that they are expecting the worst. But before it's over, they don't get what they are expecting. Instead, they are shown grace and mercy by Joseph. You'll remember then, as we look at this, that Simeon is in prison, and they had to bring Joseph back with them in order to get Simeon released. And these men believe that they are being punished for selling Joseph, though they don't know that Joseph is the man that they are dealing with. And they come before Joseph expecting the worst, but instead he makes them a feast. And when he makes them this feast, it's obvious he knows all about them, because he is able to place them in their birth order around the table. And then he gives Benjamin a major portion of the food. I think it's 5 times more than the rest of them get. So he knows all about them. And isn't it interesting that when we think of the Lord Jesus, that is exactly what the Lord has done for us. When we come before the Lord having sinned against him, we should expect the worst. And yet, because of the cross, he has borne our sins in his own body on the tree, and we don't get the worst. If we are believers, we get blessed, we get mercy, and we get grace. And when we see Joseph realizing just exactly what the birth order of all these brothers is, we know the Lord knows all about us as well. There are those today who claim to be Christians, but as we look at them, we begin to wonder if they really are. Now, I am not saying that salvation is by works, but I am saying that when we come to know the Lord, our attitude toward the Lord changes. And instead of feeling like we have to do certain things in order to get to heaven, we want to do certain things that the Lord has asked us to do because we are going to heaven, because we have received that free gift of salvation. And we see people today who have not had their hearts changed, and yet they claim to be Christians. They have not been people who have shown mercy. They are not people with empathy and a compassionate heart. We see that all around us, and yet they claim to be Christians, and in many cases they carry out ordinances in the place of true faith. They think that if they carry out the ordinances of their church, then that makes them a Christian. Or if they do good things for their fellow man, that makes them a Christian, instead of realizing that being a Christian is getting our eye off ourselves and getting our eye unto our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us at the cross of Calvary. When I listen to people tell how they get saved today, I often hear them say, "Well, I gave my heart to the Lord." And I wonder, did they ever find out that the Lord gave his life for them? It's one thing to consecrate your life to the Lord after you've trusted in the Lord, but trusting in the Lord requires you to get your eye on what the Lord has done for you, and instead of getting your eye on what you think you are doing for the Lord. And the Lord knows. He sees our hearts. The Lord knows all about us. He knows our sin, and there are many people who think that they're too great a sinner to be saved, and the Lord knows all about our sin. But the only sin I find in the Bible from which a person cannot be saved is the sin of unbelief. "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And we talk about the unforgivable sin, but the unforgivable sin is that sin of unbelief. It's not just resisting or turning away from the Holy Spirit, although that's really what happens when we are unbelievers, because the Holy Spirit deals with all of us, trying to convince us of the truth of our sin and the truth of judgment that is coming and the truth that righteousness is in Christ. And when we resist the Holy Spirit, what we're really doing is turning away in unbelief from the Lord. And that unbelief is something that we cannot be saved from. I know there's some who believe that we cannot be saved from murder, because a murderer does not have eternal life dwelling in him. And that's what John says in 1 John. But what that's talking about is murderers who not only murder, but have hate and murder in their hearts. It's the attitude and character of that person. It's not the issue of a manslaughter situation where a mistake is made. And so when we look at murderers, there's some say, well, that's an unforgivable sin as well. But I do believe that murder, when a person realizes they've done wrong and repents and turns to the Lord, that a murderer can be saved. That's my personal conviction. But I don't believe a murderer who hates will be saved. And who continues to hate is a saved person. So what I'm saying is the Lord knows us. He knows all about us. He knows our sin. He knows our comings. He knows our goings. And he knows whether we are depending on the Lord alone for salvation or whether we're still depending on something that we think we can offer God for salvation. And so Joseph knew all about these brothers of his, and he sets them down in order. He's kind of like David when Mephibosheth is shown grace after Saul dies and David is on the throne. Mephibosheth is a descendant of Jonathan, who's a descendant of Saul, and normally when a dynasty changes, in that day at least, when the dynasties changed, they got rid of everybody in the family that might want to compete with the new king and might want to take the throne back. And so I'm sure that when the Lord asked about a descendant of Jonathan that he could show mercy to, and when Mephibosheth, who was lame on both his feet, was brought to David, he must have thought, this is it, this is the end, this is where I'm going to be judged for having the wrong father and being associated with the wrong king. And instead David says, no, I'm going to show you mercy for Jonathan's sake. And he let him eat at his table from that time on. And that's the blessing we run into. Joseph's brothers got that kind of a blessing. We get that kind of a blessing. Joseph is a picture of Christ. And instead of wanting to judge us, instead of wanting to send us to a sinner's hell, instead of wanting to do that, he wants to save us, and he has died to do that, and he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to bring us to himself. And now we're standing before Joseph, and while we might stand there in fear and trembling, expecting the worst, we get the best. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the mercy of the Lord to an undeserving sinner. That's the mercy that was being shown to these brothers by Joseph. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We trust you will bless thy word. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address, our mailing address, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.